This is KSJD. You're listening to Morning Edition. Good morning. I'm Tom Yoder. It's the last Friday of the month, and time now for KSJD's monthly Veterans Affairs program. Joining me in the studio this morning is Bert Valencia from local Veterans of Foreign Wars Post 5231. Hey, Bert.
Hey, how are you doing this morning, Tom?
I'm good. Nice to see you again.
It's good to see you. Yeah.
Also joining us this morning is Montezuma County Veterans Service Officer Rick Torres. Good morning, Rick.
Hey, good morning. Happy New Year, everyone.
Yes, Happy New Year. So we're going to take a look first at some numbers and get a rundown. Rick, you brought in some really interesting numbers that go all the way back to 2013 when you were first starting here as the Veterans Service Officer. And take us through those years and how it went.
Sure. I'll give you a quick summary. Back in 2013, when the commissioners decided to hire a full-time county veteran service officer, the office was probably seeing right at exactly 1,033 veterans throughout the year. Incrementally, we've gone up since we came on board full-time, and last year we were up to 2,755 veterans, so a little over 1,033 up to 2,755. That's a huge change.
Well in over double.
Oh, yeah, more than double.
Yeah.
The activity coming through that office. A lot of ongoing claims management, which is what we do for our clients at no cost. We also, last year we had 159 new clients. We usually average about 10%, 10 to 15% new clients a year. Those come from current clients, word of mouth from the DAV, VFW, American Legion, radio station ads, Facebook. So we get a lot of activity that way coming through our office. We also did 95 home house calls. We do house calls and nursing home visits. So if you're a veteran, is in a nursing home or at home and can't get into an office, we'll go out and see them. Did 42 events for outreach where we go out in the community looking to drum up veterans to get into our office. And we did 26 community events that a lot of our service organizations put on throughout the year.
You've also got some really impressive numbers here in terms of the direct or indirect income into the county. Through, I guess, benefits paid to veterans. Can you talk a little bit about those numbers?
Exactly. And what happens is from having gone from over a little over 1,000 to 2,700 people come through the office, I'll give you an example. Last year, in new monthly benefits granted to our vets, just last year, it came out to $162,000 a month in new income. And in a year, in 12 months, all of those clients will earn $1.9 million in benefits. Those clients that won claims last year, they also cumulatively were paid $1.1 million in back pay because the VA took so long to decide their claims, and that was money owed to them. So when you do the math, it's almost $3 million a year
wow.
in new income to our county, and these folks are paying off mortgages. They're you know, buying cars.
Yeah, that money's going back into our economy.
Exactly. So it's an economic boom to our veterans and their survivors for benefits they deserve.
Absolutely. Another fun thing about, 2019 was the state of Colorado introduced a special license plate for women veterans. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Why that happened? Yes. That's one of my colleagues up in, I think she's from Grand Junction, Pat. She went ahead and introduced or was advocating for the legislature to authorize a woman veteran license plate. So it was approved last year. And so if you're a woman veteran, all you do is take your DD-214 over to the license plate office at the clerk's office and get yourself a woman license plate and be recognized. Now, there is a cost for it. I think it's like $25. Don't quote me on that. but there is a cost for it. But hey, get out there, lady veterans, and represent.
Yeah, and you know, speaking of women veterans, Bert, one of our local women veterans, Darla Sanders, had a big year. She was named the commander, the state commander for disabled American veterans.
Yes, yeah. Which is the first. There have been other women veterans holding that position, but down here is the first one. We've had two, one in the VFW. We had a state commander down here, and this is the first. State commander down here and being a woman, it's a big deal. Yeah. And so I just talked to her. She's going to be pretty busy. They're going to legislative conference in D.C. In February. It's when they all the veterans groups go down there and they meet with hobnob with the senators and the congressmen and all that stuff. So
Darla's
it
been
ought to be pretty interesting.
She's been a road warrior this year, that's
yeah.
for sure.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah. A lot of miles, a lot of miles.
Yeah.
A lot of miles with no pay.
Yeah. Rick, another big thing that happened in the veteran community across the nation was going to the new Mission Act, kind of moving away from what was known as the Choice Act, moving towards the Mission Act, and we've done some programs on that here. You can find those at ksjd.org to learn more. But just briefly, what were some of the changes that veterans saw around that this last year?
Right. Like you said, we talked about it earlier last year. However, one of the big things was the urgent care benefit, where vets can go to an urgent care instead of going to an emergency room. Now, obviously, if you need to go to an ER, go. But in many cases, you can just go to an urgent care. The problem here in Cortez was we don't have an urgent care per se. We have a walk-in clinic. So starting the summer of last year, you can go to an urgent care. The urgent cares locally are Farmington. There's one in Dove Creek, and there's one in Durango. So finally, we got our local walk-in clinic added to the VA's website. So if you're a veteran and you need to go to an urgent care, just go to the one here at in Cortez on North Mildred. Now, they might be in the hospital now because they're having problems with their building. Mm. So if you go to the building just behind the hospital, there may be a sign that says send you to the hospital. But go to the urgent care. You identify yourself as a veteran, and they should bill the VA for which you're enrolled in, whether it's Albuquerque or Grand Junction VA Health System.
Yeah, that's a nice service, and there were some other changes, of course, with the Mission Act that came up, but all pretty much positive for local vets.
Yeah, it was all positive for local vets. Enhanced capabilities of your VA doctor pushing you out to the community for care rather than having to go to the main hospitals. Now they're still trying to work the bugs out. You got to be really involved with your healthcare. You got to talk to the Mission Act coordinator at your clinic. And a lot of vets don't get what they're asking for, and there lies the problem. That's where our office can try to help. So, you know, just do the best you can with your choice provider, with the clinic, and also with Albuquerque or Grand Junction's Mission Act coordinator. And if not, we can get involved and also advocate for you. But, I mean, it's not a perfect system. There's still problems with it, but it is slowly getting better as these service organizations, like what Bert was just talking about, the DAV, the VFW, the American Legion, they're the ones that are out there fighting for these benefits in Washington.
If you're a veteran out there listening right now, or maybe you're family of a veteran, get a hold of Rick's office.
Yeah.
He's going to do good work
we'll
for
try.
You. Absolutely. I also wanted to get to a success story that you wanted to share, Rick, about a local widow of a vet. And do you want to just share that right now and talk about what happened there?
Sure. I'll try to be as brief as I can. I had a veteran, Vietnam vet, probably about 4 years ago. We had an active claim going for herbicide exposure, Agent Orange, but it was not in Vietnam. Mm. It was in Thailand. So I knew the claim was going to be denied. So what we did, we appealed it. Appeals take is a long process. It takes years. Unfortunately, the veteran passed away. So when a veteran passes away, the claim basically also is their VA's done with it. They close it. So I encouraged the widow to keep his claim alive. It becomes a substitute claim. So she kept the claim alive. I told her, you have absolutely nothing to lose. So let's fast forward about 4 years. The VA finally, a VA judge, not the VA, a law judge granted his claim to her. That netted her $80,000 in benefits, so they paid her. It was actually over $80,000 that would have been his had he stayed living. And she got an additional $25,000 in benefits that was owed to her. It's on a benefit called dependency indemnity compensation. Wow. And that's the kind of stuff that we love, helping our veterans, their survivors, and being patient with the VA and the Board of Veteran Appeals.
Right on. Congratulations
Thank
on that.
You.
I know that's a long-fought victory. Yeah. Well, that's all the time we have for this morning. Thanks for listening to KSJD's Veterans Affairs. Bert, thanks for being here this morning.
Oh, you bet, man.
Maybe we'll let you talk some more next time.
No. It's fun to come and visit.
Absolutely. And Rick, thanks for being here as always.
All right. Take care, guys.